Well, I should have made that announcement sooner about dressing up. It looks great. I have no t-shirts to read tonight. Yeah, amen. Praise God. Okay, number 28, another song about loving Jesus. That's a song we can all sing from the heart because we all love him tonight. That's why we're here. And we know that he loves us. So let's sing about that and just express our love to him in song. Praise God. I'm reminded of a story that our brother Edwin Waldfogel used to tell us, and I'm sure you've heard me tell it to you here before as well, many of you. But he told of a concert violinist, and they were having a concert, a recital of some sort, and people had come to hear him, and he was quite accomplished, and he played beautifully. and he played with all his heart and put such feeling into the numbers. And when he was done, the people just applauded him and stood to their feet. But he didn't seem affected by that at all. As a matter of fact, he seemed rather concerned when you looked at his face. And they cried out for another song, another number, and so he chose another one and he played it. And it seemed that if it was possible, he put more of his strength into it and really everything into it. And he played with all his heart until the sweat began to break on his brow. And the people were just beside themselves, admiring his talent and praising him. And they asked for another number, and so he played again. But each time he seemed to be concerned. He didn't seem to be moved by their applause until he played his last number. And then when they stood to their feet, he looked over into the corner, and there was a little old man there, and he finally stood up and he began to clap. And when that man clapped, then a smile broke out on his face, because that man was his teacher. And he was the only one that knew what to expect of that man, what he could expect of him. He was the only one that could evaluate whether he did his best or not. Everybody else was taken up with the music. He was better than anyone perhaps they had ever heard. But until that teacher got up and smiled and expressed his approval, he had no satisfaction. And that's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know. There's going to come a day when we're going to stand before him, and it's only what he says that's going to matter. Not what other people say about us and how wonderful we are and the praise that we can receive from people, but it's the praise that comes from God alone that is going to be the only thing that matters. And that ought to be the thing that we're living for today. And God wants to give us a heart that is looking for his smile. And that's the only thing that rewards us. That's the only thing that gives us real joy, is to know that he's smiling upon us. That he's pleased with our effort. That he's pleased with our seeking him and living for him. You know, they've got a lot of people that'll tell you what a great person you are and how much they appreciate you, and you can't let that go to your head. You've got to say, yes, Jesus, but what do you think? And what do you say? And the Lord's not here to condemn us. He's not interested in discouraging us. But he knows what he has done for us, and he knows what he can do with us. We read about that this morning. In our devotion, we talked about the potential that God has put into every one of us. He knows what he can accomplish through our lives if we yield ourselves to him. And he is the only one that can rightly evaluate that. And so we want to live every day looking for his smile. Oh, we want to please Jesus in everything. We're not perfect, but we can have a perfect heart. We can have a heart that keeps reaching out to him and keeps growing and keeps striving to please him and be what he wants us to be. And you know, the Lord smiles when he sees that. Oh, he doesn't wait. When my children, I'm pleased with their effort. I don't expect Kenny to do what his sisters can do. But at his age, I have an idea of what I can expect of him. I know what I've taught him, and I know what he's experienced. And I'm pleased with his effort. I'm pleased with his desire. I'm pleased with his striving to be his best. And so it is with the Lord. I think I heard this story one time when they were having a party for somebody, and everybody was getting up and giving little talks about how wonderful that person was and what a blessing they were. And then after the party, and everyone gave their little testimonials of how much they appreciated that person, then that person got up and told this story. And it was as though they were saying, I appreciate all that you've said about me, but there's only one that really, really knows me. And it's only what he says that really matters in my life. Praise God. And we don't have to wait till the judgment day or when we stand before the Lord to look for his smile, but we ought to do that every day. What does it matter more what Jesus thinks of you than others? Well, that's a wonderful way to live. And that's what keeps us in that way of perfection when we're always seeking his approval. And I think of that every time I sing this song because it says, "Thy smile shall be my reward." Your approval, knowing that you're pleased, that's the greatest reward I can get. The Pharisees, they were living for the praise of man. And they got a lot of praise from people. "Oh, you prayed so beautifully, so long, so eloquently. And oh, the way you dress and honor the Lord and his house. And oh, what sacrifices you make. I can see on your face that you've been fasting." And they just love that. They just love that. They live for that. But their lives that were praised by everybody else grieve the heart of God. God said, "What is acceptable in the eyes of man is an abomination in the eyes of God." And Jesus, he didn't get the praise of man, did he? He got their criticism and he got their wrath, but he lived every day knowing that he had the smile of his Father. And that's what kept him going. And that's all that mattered to him. Praise God. And so, I'm so glad that we can know that God is pleased with us. Not that we're perfect, but that God is pleased with where we are right now and what we're allowing him to do in our lives and the things that we're pursuing. We can know that God is pleased. Hallelujah. And sometimes we feel that smile. Sometimes we just feel the pleasure of the Lord. It comes upon us. He draws near to us and fills our hearts with joy, and his presence becomes so sweet, and we just sense that God is smiling upon us. Praise God. And that's what we're to live for, as Jesus did. Praise God. And there's no reward that can compare with that. Praise God. We have another verse to sing. "What limit is there to thy love?" And so let's sing that too.
What limit is there to
It's the Holy Spirit that teaches us to please Jesus. We know that He speaks to our hearts and shows us where Christ is not satisfied. And He deals with us about those things in our lives. And if we really are living for His smile, then we're going to welcome that. We call that conviction, when the Holy Spirit makes us to see where we're in need of God's grace. You know, when I went to Germany not too long ago, well, I had to make sure I had clothes that fit. My clothes have been getting a little tight lately. I don't know what kind of detergent Lily's been using. But I would walk around with these suit pants that I had, and they were so uncomfortable. And they were always getting tighter all the time. And I was always aware that I had gained weight, and I was I was self-conscious about it. And every time I was wearing those pants all day long, I just felt that. And so I decided to do something about it. I went to the tailor and he let them out for me. Boy, I felt so much better. You know, I didn't feel fat anymore. Felt good. I actually started believing that I had lost weight or something. I don't know. And I didn't have to think about that anymore. I wasn't constantly reminded by the ache in my waist that I was overweight. It was nice. I thought I should have done this a lot sooner, you know. You know, we can do that with conviction too, right? We know how to loosen the belt or, you know, just get that to ease up a little bit. And that's dangerous. When the Holy Spirit pulls the belt tight to where it's supposed to be, we don't want to just go to the tailor and let the pants out. But we want to... We want to deal with God and say, Lord, something needs to change here. That's what you're telling me. And we can seek God then. And God looks for those that do that, that they consider the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and they say, Lord, what are you saying to me, and what do I need? How can I please Jesus better? What changes do you want to make in me? And we welcome that, because it's only as we acknowledge our need and humble ourselves before God and repent can things really change. But if we make excuse, if we let ourselves get distracted, if we compare ourselves with others, after a while that conviction doesn't bother us anymore. But there's been no change, and that's the problem. You can get rid of the conviction, but there's no change. And we're not interested in getting rid of the conviction. We're interested in getting rid of the problem. Praise God. And that's what the Holy Spirit has come to do. He's come to convince the world of sin. He brings conviction, but then He doesn't leave us there. He shows us the answer to our need. He points us to Jesus. And He enables us, teaches us how to seek Him and how to claim what He has purchased for us. And He encourages us along the way. And after a while, you begin to notice that there's been some changes. Praise God. And other people notice that too. And then they tell you, boy, how thin you look and how good you're looking. You know, when people tell you how good you look, it always makes you wonder how bad they thought you looked before, right? Oh, that haircut is great. That looks so good. And I never talked about my hair before. Whatever it may be. Well, anyway, we like to be complimented, and we appreciate the kindness people show us. But, you know, we want the real thing. And there was a lady in Ridgewood years ago that used to pray, Lord, I'm here to hear from You, and Lord, I've come to be corrected tonight. Well, most people don't like that. But here was a woman who really wanted to please Jesus. She didn't just talk about it. She really wanted to know where her life could be more pleasing to God if she'd give Him a chance. Are you like that tonight here? Are you here to just enjoy a good meeting? Are you really here to meet God and to hear God speak to you? Come in. And to really believe God for a real work of the Holy Ghost. Jesus has brought us up to Pilgrim Camp to change us. He wants us to go home different than when we first came up. More like Himself. More hungry for Him. and with a spirit that will enable us to seek Him as we ought to seek Him. Praise God. And so, in the meeting, if the Lord says something that makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable, well, don't let that discourage you. That's God's love reaching out to you and saying, I want you to have the real thing. You thought you did, but I have something more for you than you could have ever imagined, something better. And it's Jesus Himself coming and making those wonderful changes in our lives. And so, Lord, we're here tonight because we want You, Jesus. And we want to be real with You. We want to be like You, and we want our lives to honor and please You. And, Lord, we know that it's only the Holy Spirit that can bring that about as He speaks to us and as He encourages us and as He points us to Christ. And, Lord, we welcome that. I want to thank You, Lord, for the times in my life when You didn't let me stay the way I was. Oh, I would have been content to stay that way. And other people would have been happy with me staying that way. But in my heart, I knew Jesus wasn't pleased. And Lord, You so sweetly and so faithfully put Your finger on those things in my life that needed to change, and where You wanted to be glorified. And Lord, I thank You. Thank You for the changes You've made. And all of us, we're not what we used to be, Lord. But Jesus, we know that there's room for more of Your grace. And You have a greater work to do in each one of us, Lord, and that's why we're here tonight. That's why You brought us here. And so give us ears to hear what You have to say to us. Give us hearts that will respond. And give us a faith for what You want that will enable us to rejoice, because we know that our God is able and He does all things well. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's continue to love Jesus and just offer ourselves to Him and say, Lord, You bought me with Your precious blood. You love me with an everlasting love. And Lord, You know what You can do with me if I'll give You a chance. And I want to give You every opportunity to have Your way in my life. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's a song here that I love in this book. And it talks about grace. Let's see, my every debt to pay and blood to wash my sin away. Thank you. That's it. The penitent's plea, is that what it's called? 32. Let's sing that also. Praise God. Number 32, the penitent's plea. Myself up, pouring, filled with grief, my soul out.
God's love I'm singing. I praise Him every day. He is my all in all.
Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, that's something we need to consider. We're His workmanship. We reflect His glory. He wants to show the world what He can do with sinners like us if we just give ourselves to Him. And He takes that very seriously. He who hath begun a good work in you will bring it to perfection. He'll complete that work. He has every intention of finishing up what He's begun in us. He wouldn't have taken us into His hands if He didn't intend to make us all that He wants us to be. Praise God. And the fact that I'm in His hands encourages me, because I can't do it, but He can do it. Praise God. And He never stops working. Praise God. He's been working all day today. As you've been on these grounds, just doing your duties and just enjoying His presence and this beautiful day, Jesus has been working in us. Hallelujah. And in a gathering like this, where we're united in faith and we're believing God together, oh, we can even expect Him to move in a more wonderful way among us. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not about you, it's about Him, and it's about what He can do. Hallelujah. It's about what He died for, and what He wants to bring forth in our lives. And so it's good to just praise Him every day as we sung. And to say, Jesus, I thank You that You're perfecting that which You've begun in me. Lord, I thank You for the conviction, because it's an evidence of Your working. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit, because it's He who perfects the image of Christ in me. And I thank you for your word, Lord, that just encourages me to keep believing God and to keep in the way that God has called me to. Praise God. Amen.
Praise God. More love to thee. Let's all stand. You've been sitting a while. And let's sing that to the Lord as well. What a beautiful, beautiful desire, beautiful prayer. Praise God.